This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Welcome to Community News, covering the towns of Webster, Dudley, Oxford, Douglas, Northbridge, Uxbridge, Whitensville, Upton, Milford, Mendon, and Blackstone. This program is sponsored by the Lions Clubs of Oxford and Uxbridge. And thanks to the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind for their ongoing support. In the next hour, we will be bringing you news from the Webster Times, Blackstone Valley Tribune, and the New Uxbridge Times. Today, we will be reading from the May 22nd editions. This is Jennifer Antkowiak, along with David Jaffe. Community comes together to support local man in need. In the middle of one of the coldest nights this past January, a man arrived at the Blackstone Valley Emergency Shelter carrying far more than the weight of homelessness. He was exhausted, frail, and living out of his car while undergoing cancer treatments. That night he quietly shared devastating news. His doctors had told him his cancer was terminal. The treatments had already taken a tremendous toll on his body, yet after each appointment, he faced the reality of returning to a freezing car to sleep. It was clear that no one should have to endure something so difficult alone. What happened next was a powerful reminder of what can happen when a community comes together with compassion and purpose. With the help of a dedicated community health worker, social workers from Dana-Farber Cancer Institute and Milford Regional Medical Center, along with the support of the Uxbridge St. Vincent de Paul, made arrangements to place him in a skilled nursing and rehabilitation center in Milford. For the first time in a long while, he had warmth, care, medical support, and people surrounding him who genuinely cared about his well-being. Over the following months, his health continued to decline. He battled COVID, the flu, and pneumonia, moving back and forth between the nursing center and the hospital. Yet through all of it, he held on to one deeply important goal. He wanted to live long enough to see his daughter graduate from college. In an extraordinary act of kindness and humanity, the school worked with the family to move the graduation ceremony forward. Last week, in a room filled with love, his daughter received her diploma at his bedside. It was a moment of dignity, pride, and peace that none who witnessed it will ever forget. This week, he passed away peacefully with his daughter by his side. His story is heartbreaking, but it is also a story of hope. It is a reminder that even in the hardest moments, people can come together to ensure that someone is not forgotten. Police officers, shelter volunteers, hospital staff, social workers, community partners, and healthcare providers all became part of a circle of care around one man and his family. He was not served by a single organization. He was served by a community that cared. Whiten Community Center gears up for 12th anniversary of Cars in the Park. The Whiten Community Center, WCC, is excited to invite all automotive enthusiasts and families alike to celebrate the 12th anniversary of our highly anticipated Cars in the Park event. Join us for a day of automotive excellence and community fun on Saturday, August 15th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the picturesque 7.5-acre Whiten Park, located at 60 Main Street in Whitensville. This year's Cars in the Park promises an unforgettable showcase of classic and contemporary cars, trucks, and motorcycles. Participants can vie for the prestigious Best in Show title and 25 other trophy categories, People's Choice Award, with the first 100 registered vehicles again this year, receiving exclusive show dash plaques and goodie bags. The event will also feature a selection of food trucks, exhibit vendors, a 50-50 raffle, and live entertainment, ensuring a fun-filled day for the entire family. Entry is complimentary for all spectators, making it the perfect summer outing. Last year's event had a turnout of over 300 cars. In anticipation of this year's event, vehicle owners are encouraged to register early and take advantage of a special $10 donation fee before July 15th, after which the registration donation will increase to $20. Pre-registration closes on August 12th. Registration for vehicles is available online at www.whitencommunitycenter.com, in person at our member services desk, or on the day of the event. Additionally, we are now welcoming applications from exhibit and food vendors looking to be part of this exciting event. Funds raised during Cars in the Park will directly support the Whiten Community Center's mission as a nonprofit 501c3 organization dedicated to enhancing the health, well-being, and community spirit of the Blackstone Valley. For a century, the WCC has been a cornerstone of the community, offering a diverse range of social, recreational, educational, and outreach programs. We are also calling on community members to join us as volunteers for this summer event. Volunteers will not only enjoy complimentary refreshments and a free T-shirt, but also the satisfaction of contributing to their community. Opportunities include coordination, ballot input, event setup and teardown, fee collection, flyer distribution, overseeing children's activities, and more. For more information on vehicle and vendor registration, volunteering, or any other inquiries, please visit our website at www.whitencommunitycenter.com or contact Tammy Bodwell, Director of Operations, at tammy.bodwell@ourgym.org or call 508-234-8184 extension 118. Join us at the 12th annual Cars in the Park for a day of automotive admiration, community engagement, and family fun. Let's drive into a new decade of this cherished event together. Strawberry Festival to feature local farm presentation. Residents will have an opportunity to learn more about one of the Blackstone Valley's longtime family farms during a Strawberry Festival event scheduled for Wednesday, June 10th from 1 to 2 p.m. The program titled From Seedlings to Sweetness, The Story of Our Strawberries, will feature Ken Fopama of Fopama's Farm, a family-owned and operated farm that has served the region since 1983. During the presentation, guests will hear about the history of the farm and the process of growing strawberries and other seasonal crops on the family's 75-acre property. Fopama's Farm is known throughout the region for its strawberries, blueberries, raspberries, sweet corn, tomatoes, apples, and other fresh produce sold at its farm stand. Organizers say the event will also include themed refreshments and a free raffle for attendees. Admission is $5 cash, payable at the door on the day of the event. Participants are encouraged to sign up in the main office in advance. Meeting House Ecumenical Service. The first ecumenical service of the 2026 season will be held on Sunday, May 31st at 2 p.m. at the East Blackstone Quaker Meeting House, 197 Elm Street in Blackstone, Mass. The annual business meeting of the association, which will include the election of officers and directors, will take place immediately following the service. Reverend Patricia Hatch will serve as guest pastor. Reverend Hatch serves as a community minister specializing in rites of passage ceremonies, such as funerals and weddings, and is also an itinerant preacher, having led worship for over 50 congregations. Reverend Hatch has a Master of Divinity degree from Boston University and has served as a parish minister, a minister of Christian education, and a hospice chaplain. She enjoys poetry, nature, and inspiration of all kinds. Music for the service will be under the direction of John Staples, organist and pianist at Matthewson Street United Methodist Church. The May 31st service will be followed by three additional services this year, the first on Sunday, September 13th, the second, a Thanksgiving service on Sunday, November 22nd, and lastly, the association's annual candlelight Christmas caroling service on Friday, December 18th, with a snow date of December 20th. For more information, visit www.blackstonequakermeetinghouse.org. Membership is open to all persons interested in the preservation of the historic meeting house and cemetery. Upton VFW flea markets have begun. The Upton Veterans of Foreign Wars VFW Post began its summer series of annual flea markets on May 9th at Post Headquarters, 16 Milford Street, Route 140. They will continue on the second Saturday of each month through October. The hours are 7:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. with no rain dates. At that first event, the Upton Garden Club participated, as it does annually, selling their plants and shrubs for spring planting. Flea market vendors can rent space for $10 each. For an additional $5 per space, a table can be provided by the post. Reservations are not required. For more information, contact post member David Kennedy at 508-529-3314 or the Upton VFW Post Facebook page. Refreshments are available. Coffee House presents concerts. On Saturday, May 30th, the Coffee House welcomes back Blackstone Valley Bluegrass. BVB has been performing throughout the area for over 25 years and played the very first Grassroots Coffee House concert. The Coffee House is located at the Rockdale Congregational Church, 42 Fowler Road in Northbridge. Admission is $20 at the door. Doors open at 6 p.m. Chili, soups, hot and cold beverages, and desserts are available. The concerts begin at 7 p.m. For more information, call 617-429-0347. BVT Band and Choir Concert for All. Evening performance celebrates diversity through music. The music program at Blackstone Valley Regional Vocational Technical High School, BVT, goes beyond teaching students how to play instruments and sing. It provides a transformative experience that deepens students' understanding of music, its origins, influences, and theory, and encourages them to apply these concepts in performance. The band and choir will present its Concert for All on June 2nd at 7:30 p.m. in the Competition Center at BVT, 65 Pleasant Street in Upton. Conducted by Dr. Colton Cox, students will showcase their musical talents in a dynamic performance. The ensembles will perform a diverse selection of music, spanning genres from folk and classical to pop and movie soundtracks, and incorporate singing in multiple languages. The music program has received instrument donations from Hungry for Music, as well as grant funding from local cultural councils. This support is instrumental in building a sustainable program that increases equitable access to a broad range of musical instruments for students. Each instrument placed in a student's hand represents an opportunity for learning and increased participation in the school's band program. By removing financial and other barriers, the program ensures greater access to music education for students who might otherwise be unable to participate. Students, families, and community members are invited to attend the free performance, which is open to the public. The program is funded in part by grants from the Grafton, Northbridge, and Upton Cultural Councils, local agencies which are supported by the Mass Cultural Council, a state agency. The Blackstone Valley Regional Vocational Technical High School serves the towns of Bellingham, Blackstone, Douglas, Grafton, Hopedale, Mendon, Milford, Millbury, Millville, Northbridge, Sutton, Upton, and Uxbridge. Located in the heart of the Blackstone Valley, BVT creates a positive learning community that prepares students for personal and professional success in an internationally competitive society through a fusion of rigorous vocational, technical, and academic skills. For more information about the school, visit www.valleytech.k12.ma.us. For more information on the band and choir concert for all on June 2nd at 7:30 p.m. at the Competition Center, you may visit the same website, www.valleytech.com. www.k12.ma.us.
Hi, this is David Jaffe reading the Webster Times for Friday, May 22nd, 2026. Oxford Women's Club awards scholarships. The Oxford Women's Club is happy to award scholarships to three deserving high school seniors. The three scholarships that were awarded are the Josie Tyler Scholarship for a Career in Education to Ava Liberis, Gwen Gustafson for the Clara Barton Scholarship for a Career in the Health Field, and Natalie Vigiant from the Oxford Women's Club to continue her chosen career of her choice. We wish them all success in their chosen future. Our scholarships are $750 each to graduates who reside in Oxford. The Women's Club make these possible by fundraising throughout the year, including a craft booth at the Oxford High School Fairs and the annual Fall Festival. We make many contributions to our town, Oxford Police Department, Senior Center, Food Shelf, Library Free Passes, School Supplies, and many more. We always welcome new members to join our organization to join us and help our community. For more information about the Women's Club, meetings are held on the first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at the Oxford Senior Center. Our meetings are entertaining, informational, and always fun. For information, contact Paula at 508-987-2804 or email PHPARKER1951@gmail.com. Busy summer ahead for Auburn Rec. Auburn Recreation and Culture is preparing for a busy summer season with a wide variety of programs and community events designed to bring residents together through fitness, music, recreation, and family activities. Among the upcoming offerings is the Mason Jar Flower Arranging Workshop, scheduled for Wednesday, July 22nd at 6 p.m. at Camp Gleason, 261 Central Street. Participants will create decorative floral arrangements while learning flower arranging basics in a relaxed setting. All supplies are included. The cost is $55 payable upon registration, and checks should be made payable to the Town of Auburn. The department is also continuing its partnership with the United States Tennis Association through the Tennis in the Parks program, which introduces children to the fundamentals of tennis in a fun and supportive environment led by a USTA-approved coach. The program focuses on helping players develop skills to serve, rally, and play using age-appropriate equipment. Students participating in their first session will receive and keep a new tennis racket and tennis ball. Sessions are scheduled at Auburn High School, Tennis Courts, 340 Southbridge Street. Programs include grades 1 through 2, Saturdays, May 9th through June 20th, from 9 to 10 a.m. Grades 3 to 5, Saturdays, May 9th through June 20th, from 10 to 11 a.m. Grades 6 through 8, Saturdays, May 9th through June 20th, from 11 a.m. to noon. Each session costs $75. Residents can also look forward to the Town of Auburn Independence Day celebration on June 30th from 5 to 9:30 p.m. at the Dr. Arthur and Dr. Martha Pappas Recreation Complex. A rain date is scheduled for July 1st. The annual celebration will feature free shuttle transportation provided by WRTA and Auburn Access Transportation, with pickup locations at Pocketchug School, the Senior Center, and Auburn Mall. Organizers noted that pets are not permitted, with the exception of service animals. Another popular event returning this summer is the Townwide Community Yard Sale on June 13th from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Residents wishing to participate can obtain a yard sale permit through the town clerk's office at Town Hall, 104 Central Street. The deadline to be included on the official address list is June 4th. Music lovers will once again have plenty to enjoy during the Summer in the Park concert series at the Riley Pappas Performance Pavilion at the Dr. Arthur and Dr. Martha Pappas Recreation Complex. Concerts are held Thursdays from 6 to 8 p.m., while the Farmers Market runs from 4 to 7 p.m. beginning June 4th. This year's concert lineup includes June 4th, Robert Black Elvis Tribute, June 11th, Alter Ego Party Rock, June 18th, Verona Rose, Alternative Power Pop, June 25th, On the Rocks, Classic Rock, July 9th, Boys Gone Wild, 1980s Rock Tribute, July 16th, the Brat Pack 1980s tribute. July 23rd, XS Band, Motown to Top 40. July 30th, She's Busy, Classic Rock. August 6th, Doc 10, 1970s and 1980s Music. August 13th, Below Deck, Yacht Rock. August 20th, Forever Fab, Beatles Tribute. August 27th, Aquanet, 1980s Rock. And September 3rd, Petty Larceny, Tom Petty Tribute. For student athletes, Auburn Recreation and Culture is also sponsoring athletic development training for boys and girls in grades 5 through 12. The ongoing Thursday evening program runs from 7 to 8 p.m. in the Auburn High School Fitness Room. The current session runs May 7th through June 25th and includes 10 classes for $100 with a $15 drop-in option available. The program is led by certified personal trainer and coach Josh, who has more than 25 years of coaching experience. Organizers said the training focuses on improving athletic performance, preventing injuries, building conditioning, and teaching proper strength training techniques for athletes participating in all sports. Space is limited, with organizers noting the class requires a minimum of 5 participants and has a maximum capacity of 10 students. For additional information or registration details on any Auburn Recreation and Culture program, residents may contact the department at 508-832-7736 or email kpappas@auburnma.gov. Dudley sets candidates night for June 8th. Dudley's annual town election will be held 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. June 15th at the Dudley Municipal Complex, 71 West Main Street. The candidates on the election ballot have been invited to participate in a candidate night, 6:30 p.m. at the Dudley Municipal Complex, 71 West Main Street. Residents are invited to meet the candidates and pose questions to gain an understanding of their positions relative to town governance and the seat they're seeking. The election ballot holds one contested seat. Incumbent Kerry Signowitz Sr. is challenged by Cynthia M. Iwanski for Board of Selectmen. Unopposed on the ballot are Conrad M. Allen for Assessor, Maureen Chickering for DCRSD, Richard Clark for Bay Path Regional, Pamela M. Humphrey for Planning Board, Spencer Lee Bell for Planning Board, Kathleen Horn for Library Trustee, and Heather B. Bowes for Library Trustee. Coast Guard Auxiliary offers boat safety checks. Local boaters will have two opportunities in June to make sure their watercraft are ready for a safe summer season during free vessel safety check events hosted by the Tri-State Flotilla 10-2 of the U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary. The free inspections will take place Saturday, June 13th at the Memorial Beach Boat Ramp on Webster Lake in Webster and Saturday, June 27th at the Wallam Lake Boat Ramp inside Douglas State Forest in Douglas. Both stations will operate from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Weather-related rescheduled dates will be the following Sundays at the same times and locations. Boat owners are encouraged to bring all types of watercraft for inspection, including kayaks, canoes, personal watercraft, sailboats, fishing boats, pontoon boats, ski boats, and cabin cruisers. Vessels may be inspected either on trailers or while afloat. According to organizers, the inspections are designed to help recreational boaters comply with both federal and state boating safety regulations before heading out onto the water for a busy summer season. Volunteer Coast Guard Auxiliary vessel examiners will conduct what organizers describe as a stern-to-stern review of required safety equipment and overall vessel condition. Items reviewed include registration and hull identification numbers, life jackets, navigation lights, fire extinguishers, flares and expiration dates, ventilation systems, sound-producing devices, and general vessel safety standards. Boats that successfully meet the requirements will receive a 2026 vessel safety check decal. Organizers noted that the decal may help indicate to law enforcement officers on the water that the vessel is in compliance with safety regulations and could potentially qualify boat owners for insurance discounts. Importantly, organizers stress that the inspections are voluntary and educational rather than punitive. No citations are issued, no penalties are assessed, and no reports are filed with law enforcement agencies if deficiencies are found. Instead, examiners provide guidance to help boarders correct any issues. In many cases, organizers said a simple stop at a marine supply store for a missing equipment is enough to pass the same-day reinspection. Vessel examiners are qualified and experienced to answer any boating-related questions or concerns, along with being trained to spot any potential problems, organizers stated in the event announcement. The Webster Lake event at Memorial Beach includes accommodations for trailered boats that are not launching. Organizers said vessels without a Webster Access sticker may still be inspected at the entrance gate if they're remaining on trailers. At the Wallam Lake Station in Douglas, personal watercrafts are not permitted to launch on weekends, but organizers noted they may still be brought in the ramp area for inspection. Both inspection stations can also accommodate vessels arriving by water. The Coast Guard Auxiliary also conducts vessel safety examinations at various unscheduled times throughout the boating season, though organizers noted that inland examiners are limited and not always readily available. Boat owners unable to attend either event may also schedule a free inspection online through the National Vessel Safety Check website. The U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary serves as the uniformed civilian component of the United States Coast Guard and supports the Coast Guard in a variety of mission areas. The organization was established by Congress in 1939. Sight, Sound, and Soil Showcase brings community together at Oxford High School. On the evening of May 14th, Oxford High School came alive with music, creativity, and community spirit during the annual Sight, Sound, and Soil event. The showcase featured performers and displays from students in grades 6 through 12, highlighting the many talents of students across the district. Families, staff members, students, and community residents filled the school throughout the evening, enjoying chorus and band performances, student artwork, and agricultural displays inside the greenhouse. Guests were able to walk through the exhibits and performances that celebrated the arts, music, and hands-on learning opportunities available to Oxford students. The event lasted more than 2 hours and concluded with a powerful collaborative performance of The Tempest by the combined band efforts of the middle and high school students. The finale brought together musicians from Oxford Middle School and Oxford High School in an impressive display of teamwork and musical talent. Special thanks were extended to Matt Kim, Chris Rubenacre, and Brad Sampson for coordinating the musical production of the evening. Additional appreciation went to Phil Standerwitz for not only performing alongside the students, but also helping organize the middle school musicians. The agricultural showcase was made possible through the efforts of Emma Harper and Jody Foster, while the high school art displays were coordinated by Evelyn Moynier and Mitch Everston. The evening served as a celebration of students' achievement and collaboration, showcasing the many ways Oxford students express themselves through the music, art, and agriculture while bringing the community together in support of their work.
And now for Lanterns Along Main Street by Charles. The quiet things we carry home. There's a certain sound to Memorial Day in small towns. It's the distant thump of a bass drum echoing down Main Street, the squeak of folding chairs being opened along a parade route, the soft flutter of little American flags planted in damp cemetery grass before sunrise by volunteers who probably didn't tell anyone they were doing it. When I was a boy, Memorial Day seemed simple to me. It meant a day off from school, a parade, maybe the smell of charcoal grills drifting through the neighborhood by late afternoon. I remember old veterans standing straighter than usual in their uniforms, though I was too young then to notice how some of them walked a little slower than others. As a kid, you don't fully understand why grown men go quiet during the playing of taps. You just know they do. Now that I'm older, Memorial Day feels different. Not heavier, exactly, but deeper. The older you get, the more you realize every town has names carved into stone somewhere. Boys who grew up on the same streets we drive every day. Young men who probably fished the same ponds, sat in the same diners, and worked the same summer jobs. complained about cold winters and muddy springs just like the rest of us. And then one day, they left home wearing a uniform and never came back. That's what Memorial Day really asks of us. Not grand speeches, not perfect patriotism. Mostly remembrance. Just remembrance. I think that's why New England towns observe Memorial Day the way they do. There's something modest about it here. The ceremonies are rarely flashy. A few speeches, a prayer maybe, flowers placed carefully at a monument, veterans standing shoulder to shoulder even when age has bent their backs a little. People still show up. That matters. I've always noticed how children behave differently during Memorial Day ceremonies, too. Even the fidgety ones, somehow, sense this is not quite like the 4th of July. There's usually one little boy waving a flag too enthusiastically until his mother gently lowers his arm. Somebody's toddler starts asking questions halfway through the ceremony. Teenagers stand around trying to look uninterested while quietly paying attention anyway. That matters too, because remembrance has to keep getting handed down. The older generation understood that. My father certainly did, though he wasn't much for emotional speeches. He belonged to that old school of men who believed you showed respect by showing up. Rain or shine, suit jacket on, hat off during the anthem, handshake firm, no fuss made about it. A lot of those men are gone now. Truth be told, Memorial Day can feel a little lonely sometimes because of that. You look around town greens and realize many of the veterans who once led the parades now ride quietly in the passenger seat instead of marching. Some are missing altogether. Time catches everybody eventually. Still, there's comfort in the traditions, staying put even as generations change. The local scout troops still help. High school bands still miss a few notes halfway through the march. Volunteers still place flags at gravesites. Somebody still brings extra donuts nobody asked for. And somehow, that ordinary kindness feels connected to the meaning of the day itself. Memorial Day was never really meant to glorify war, at least I don't think so. It's about honoring sacrifice while quietly hoping future generations won't have to make the same sacrifices quite so often. That may sound old-fashioned nowadays. So be it. I suppose I've reached the age where I don't mind sounding a little old-fashioned now and then. There are worse things a man can be. Over the years, I've noticed something else, too. The people who attend Memorial Day ceremonies most faithfully are often not the loudest people the other 364 days of the year. They're usually steady people, humble people, folks who understand gratitude doesn't always need a microphone. Maybe that's the lesson I keep carrying home from Memorial Day each year. A healthy town remembers. Not perfectly, not dramatically, but sincerely. It remembers the people who built the community, protected it, sacrificed for it, and never made it back to enjoy the peaceful little moments the rest of us often take for granted. Ball games, backyard cookouts, kids riding bicycles at dusk. A quiet evening with family while the screen door creaks open and shut. Ordinary American life. The kind of life somebody else once gave up everything to protect. And every Memorial Day, whether we realize it or not, we carry that gift home with us. News from the Uxbridge Senior Center. The Uxbridge Senior Center is located at 36 South Main Street, and our phone number is 508-278-8622. Director's News for June. The second annual Golden Gala was a success. Thank you to the Uxbridge Elderly Connection for hosting this event. We especially thank all the sponsors who help support us with donations for the beautiful centerpieces and other items. Thank you, Sally Selvidge, for the extra time and effort to make this event a wonderful experience. A fun time was had by all. We are going to the WooSox game on Wednesday, June 3rd. Sign up to join us to attend the WooSox game. Space is limited and transportation is available to all. This trip is sponsored by the Uxbridge Elderly Connection. Please call the Senior Center for more information, 508-278-8622. World Elder Abuse Awareness Day, WEAAD, is Monday, June 15th. The purpose of WEAAD is to provide an opportunity for communities around the world to promote a better understanding of abuse and neglect of older adults by raising awareness of the cultural, social, economic, and demographic processes affecting elder abuse and neglect. Recognizing the warning signs of elder abuse can help determine if your loved one is being neglected or disrespected. Some indicators of abuse or neglect may include a change in behavior or appearance, a rapid display of injury marks like bruising or scarring, or a sudden change in financial resources. For more information or assistance, please call the Senior Center, 508-278-8622. In celebration for all the dads out there, our Father's Day party will take place on Friday, June 26th at noon. The Uxbridge Elderly Connection is sponsoring this event. Please RSVP. Come join our knitting club. Our knitting group meets every Tuesday at 1:30 p.m. at the Senior Center. Even if you don't know how to knit or crochet, come and visit us. The group members are always willing to teach you. The group also has some beautiful handmade gifts available for sale at the Senior Center. If you need a baby shower or birthday gift, please stop by and check out the selection of items. All sales go to the Uxbridge Senior Center Activity Donation Fund. Stay safe and enjoy the summertime. Lisa. On Monday, June 1st from 3 to 4 p.m. at the Uxbridge Senior Center, computer tutoring with students from Blackstone Valley Tech. Please call ahead to book an appointment. This will be held on the first Monday of each month. Call 508-278-8622. On Thursday, June 4th at 10:30 a.m., we'll have Veteran Services with Carl Bradshaw. This is by appointment only. Call 508-278-8622 to sign up. And Friday, June 5th at noon is Lunch and Learn with Chief Montminy and UFD Quarterly Talk. There is typically a wait list for these events, so be sure to RSVP. On Tuesday, June 9th at 1 p.m., Benefit Enrollment Specialist, Tri-Valley Incorporated, will be here. Call the Senior Center to book an appointment. The next date will be Tuesday, July 14th. Thursday, June 11th at 1:30 p.m. is a free afternoon movie at the Senior Center. We will be watching Dan Aykroyd and John Candy's The Great Outdoors. Refreshments to be served and transportation is available. And Friday, June 12th at noon is Talk on Uxbridge's 300th anniversary with Amanda Gallerani. Please call to RSVP at 508-278-8622. And Friday, June 19th, the Senior Center will be closed in observance of Juneteenth. We will reopen on Monday, June 22nd at 8 a.m. News from the Douglas Adult Social Center. The Douglas Adult Social Center is located at 331 Main Street. The phone number is 508-476-2283. Get Me Home Safe Program. A new form is being released for caretakers and family members of dementia patients or developmentally disabled people. All you have to do is fill out this paper and keep it in a safe place. If you have a file of life card, that would be the best place to store it on your refrigerator. In the event of an emergency, if your loved one is missing, this information will be very helpful to emergency services personnel. If you need assistance filling out the information or attaching a picture, we are available to assist you. If you have a loved one that could wander off, become disoriented, or has other health issues, please take a moment to fill out the personal information form. This form will be available at the police, fire, and adult social center websites. Tuesday and Thursday lunch club at the Douglas Adult Social Center. Please call the Friday before to sign up. Lunch is $4 per person. If you would like to attend, we offer free rides to and from the center and are willing to waive the lunch fee if necessary. The lunch menu for Tuesday, June 2nd is shepherd's pie, baked potato, biscuit, and cake. Our Friday shopping schedule, please call 48 hours in advance to schedule your ride. Grocery shopping pickup starts at 9:30 a.m. Hannaford is June 26th, Walmart is June 5th and June 19th, and Price Chopper is June 12th. The Douglas Adult Social Center will also be closed on Friday, June 19th, in observance of Juneteenth. And the next wellness clinic date is Monday, June 8th. The clinic is open from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. News from Plummer Place, home of the Northbridge Senior Center. We are located at 20 Highland Street in Whitensville. You can reach us at 508-234-2002. And please remember, Northbridge residents have priority for all programming and events. Call the main office to sign up for special events and programs so we can plan accordingly. Remember, Meditation with Kelly is every Thursday at 9:30 a.m. Our bereavement group meets the second Monday at 1 p.m. Our book club meets the third Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. Please call Kelly to find out what book we're reading. Our brew crew meets Wednesday at 9:30 a.m. Wednesday, June 3rd, guest speaker is Adam Gaudette, Northbridge Town Manager. And the Dull Men's Club meets the fourth Tuesday at 9:30 a.m. The Women's Collaborative meets the second Thursday at 10 a.m. Please call Amy for more information. And Writing Your Way is the second and fourth Thursdays at 2 p.m. Please call Lori for more information. Floral Arrangement Class at First Congregational Church. First Congregational Church of Millbury will be holding a floral arrangement class on Saturday, June 6th at 1 p.m. in their fellowship hall at 148 West Main Street in Millbury. The fee of $30 includes the class and all materials. Beginners are welcome. Please bring garden hand clippers. And please note, registration is required by May 30th. Please RSVP to Janice Fortin at 508-826-6381. Uxbridge High School Athletic Hall of Fame inductees. The Uxbridge High School Athletic Hall of Fame will introduce its class of 2026 in a ceremony scheduled for November 21st. Inquiries regarding the event can be directed via email to uhshalloffame@uxbridge.k12.ma.us or to the Secretary of the Committee, Chuck Paskovich, at cpuhshof@gmail.com.
The Kiwanis Club of Auburn. Auburn has been blessed with many civic organizations that do volunteer service to improve the community. This was shown by a sign that was between the library and fire station at Drury Square. There were 9 metal discs that showed logos of those organizations until recently, when the sign was replaced by a Scout's Eagle project that welcomes people to Auburn. The organizations that were on the sign include the Exchange Club, P.H. Grange, Kiwanis International, Knights of Columbus, Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks, Auburn Chamber of Commerce, Joel H. Prouty Lodge Masons, and the Women's Club. The former sign was donated to the Auburn Historical Society and Museum, who is very grateful to have that piece of Auburn history. Plans are in the works for an exhibit and perhaps restoration of the discs, which show wear and tear after being in the elements for so many years. A new series that will highlight the historic background of each of these organizations will begin with this article about the Kiwanis Club International. Why start here? This was an organization that helped the Auburn Historical Society and Museum get a storage shed, and it also started the same year as the Historical Society. The Kiwanis Club started in 1915 in Detroit, Michigan, by Alan Brown as a business network. It was originally named Supreme Lodge Benevolent Order of Brothers. In 1916, the name was changed to Kiwanis, which in the Algonquin Native American language means we trade. In 1920, it was to we build until 2005, when the motto changed to serving the children of the world. In 1916, it also became an international organization when a chapter opened in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. At the 1919 National Convention in Birmingham, Alabama, money was raised to buy the organization from the founder and create an independent Kiwanis, which evolved into doing community service and improving lives of children. In 1987, the organization dropped its gender qualification of men only and allowed women to join. Kiwanis International has over 600,000 members in more than 80 countries. It supports literacy programs, health service, and disaster relief. In local communities, it promotes service projects and fundraising efforts. The Auburn Kiwanis Club was started in 1967, and Theodore E. Corey of Oxford, sales manager of the former Yankee Drummer Inn, was elected president. VP was Edward A. Cumey of Worcester, Secretary H. Charles Jones of Auburn, Treasurer Frank Marin of Auburn, and the board of directors included Edward J. Dickinson, Jr., Donald P. Ganars, Samuel A. May, Samuel Hugasian, Floyd E. Holstrom, John L. McCarthy, Reverend Ernest A. Bigson, David A. Sibley, and Robert Hunter. It received its charter in September. One of the earliest things they did was to honor a 15-year-old Gary Pike with the Outstanding Heroism Award for saving his younger stepbrother from drowning on May 14, 1968, after the car he was in rolled into Rotary Beach Pond. That year, they also sponsored a scholarship dinner dance on New Year's Eve to provide scholarships for Auburn High School seniors. Through the years, they've sponsored a cookout for students from Sweden, Denmark, Norway, and Finland, who were visiting for 3 weeks during the summer and were guests of 28 Auburn families. There was a 4th of July go-kart derby for children from grade 5 through grade 8. There was a gift of a manually operated outdoor scoreboard for high school football and baseball games in 1970. They were instrumental in getting the brook off Henshaw Street. There were a variety of fundraisers that included a yearly charity golf tournament, Bucks for Cancer Night, with a buffet and entertainment. This article is made possible by the Auburn Historical Society and Museum, 41 South Street. The museum is open Tuesday and Saturday mornings from 9:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. and may be reached at auburnmuseum@verizon.net or 508-832-6856. Greendale Physical Therapy opens new Auburn location. Greendale Physical Therapy is proud to announce the opening of its newest state-of-the-art clinic located at 440 Washington Street, Route 20 in Auburn. The new facility expands Greendale's growing network of 7 locations across central Massachusetts and increases access to high-quality one-on-one physical therapy services for the Auburn community and surrounding areas. Locally owned and operated by physical therapist John Dooley, Greendale Physical Therapy has been serving central Massachusetts for more than 20 years with a focus on patient-centered care, clinical excellence, and strong community relationships. Greendale remains therapist-owned, allowing the company to maintain a strong focus on personalized care and long-term patient outcomes. The Auburn Clinic will be led by Rachel Downer, PT, DPT, who will serve as clinic manager. Dr. Downer and her team will provide comprehensive orthopedic and sports rehabilitation services, helping patients recover from injuries, surgeries, and musculoskeletal conditions while returning to activities they love. The new clinic will specialize in the treatment of a wide range of conditions, including post-surgical rehabilitation, sports injuries, neck and back pain, joint replacements, balance issues, overuse injuries, and more. A unique feature of the Auburn location will be its specialized gymnastics rehabilitation services. The clinic includes therapists with advanced training and firsthand experience as gymnasts themselves, and working with the gymnasts allowed Greendale to provide sport-specific rehabilitation for athletes, ranging from recreational gymnasts to high-level competitors. The program is designed to help gymnasts prevent injuries, as well as safely recover from injuries and return to peak performance. "We're excited to bring Greendale's unique approach to physical therapy to Auburn," said John Dooley. "As a locally owned practice founded by a physical therapist, we have always focused on doing what is best for our patients and our team. Our model centers around providing every patient with 40-minute one-on-one treatment, service sessions with licensed physical therapists. We believe patients deserve individualized attention and care, and we're proud to continue expanding access to that level of service throughout central Massachusetts." Greendale Physical Therapy has become known throughout the region for its patient-centered care, experienced clinical team, and commitment to outstanding outcomes. The practice has multiple locations across central Massachusetts and has earned a reputation as one of the area's leading providers of outpatient physical therapy services. "We are thrilled to become part of the Auburn community," said Rachel Downer. "Our goal is to help every patient feel supported throughout their recovery while delivering the highest level of care possible. Whether someone is recovering from injury or from surgery, returning to sports, or simply looking to move and feel better, we are here to help." The Auburn Clinic is now accepting new patients, with next-day appointments often available. For more information or to schedule an appointment, visit www.greendalept.com or call 855-459-5000. Bank Hometown promotes Bussier to vice president. Bank Hometown is pleased to announce the promotion of Joanne Bussier to vice president, branch officer of the bank's 31 Sutton Ave, Oxford office. In her expanded role, Bussier will continue to lead branch operations while taking on a greater leadership role in driving retail strategy, mentoring team members, and enhancing the customer experience across the bank's network. She'll play an integral role in supporting the bank's growth and ensuring consistent delivery of high-quality service. Bussier joined Bank Hometown in 2016 as a branch manager of its 131 Main Street, Lancaster office. In 2019, she transitioned into the same role at the Oxford office, where she's continued to demonstrate strong leadership, operational excellence, and a deep commitment to both her team and the communities she serves. An active community leader, Bussier serves on the Webster Dudley Oxford, WDO, Chamber Event Committee. She's also a mock audit team member, a dollar scholar mentor through the United Way Women Initiative, and supports financial literacy programs for seniors and students. Founded in 1889, Bank Hometown is headquartered in Oxford. "We have $1.6 billion in assets and offer a complete line of consumer and business deposits and lending products and services through 15 locations throughout central Massachusetts." Editorial, more than a finish line. There's something refreshing about watching children run simply for the joy of it. No rankings, no social media pressures, no worries about adult problems waiting behind or beyond the school doors. Just children laughing, racing forward, cheering each other on, and crossing a finish line covered head to toe in bright colors and wide smiles. That spirit was on full display recently during the Clara Button School annual Button on the Run event in Oxford. What could easily be viewed as just a school fun run is actually something much more meaningful. It's a reminder that schools are not only places where children learn math facts, spelling words, and science lessons. They're also places where confidence is built, friendships are strengthened, and lifelong healthy habits begin to take shape. At a time when many families struggle to pull children away from screens and encourage physical activity events like Barton on the Run matter. They show students that exercise can be fun rather than intimidating. Running does not have to mean intense competition or pressure to win. Sometimes it simply means participating, moving, laughing, and encouraging classmates along the way. The color run portion of the event adds us an especially joyful touch. Students begin dressed in white and finish splashed with vibrant colors, creating a visual reminder that every participant leaves changed by the experience. It's difficult not to smile, seeing children proudly wear these bright colors afterward like badges of honor. Equally important is the community atmosphere these events create. Families gather along the course to cheer on runners. Teachers and staff members step outside their daily routines to support students in a different setting. Volunteers and organizers work behind the scenes to ensure everything runs smoothly. For a few hours, the focus shifts away from schedules, tests, and responsibilities and centers instead on shared encouragement and school pride. Those moments matter more than people sometimes realize. Children remember the adults who showed up for them. They remember hearing applause as they rounded a corner. They remember classmates cheering when someone grew tired. They remember teachers smiling at the finish line. Long after they forget individual assignments or worksheets, many will remember how events like this made them feel. Oxford is fortunate to have schools that continue creating opportunities like Barton on the Run. Programs that encourage wellness, teamwork, and positivity help shape not only stronger students, but stronger communities. Special recognition is certainly deserved by organizers Aidan Dolan and Hannah Quinn, whose hard work helped make the event possible, as well as the Clara Barton staff members who supported the program enthusiastically through the day. Their efforts and efforts helped create the kind of school memory children carry with them for years. In many ways, Barton on the Run reflects the very best qualities of a small-town school community. It reminds us that education is not confined to a classroom. Sometimes lessons about perseverance, encouragement, sportsmanship, and belonging are learned while running alongside friends under a cloud of bright blue, pink, and yellow powder. And perhaps that is exactly the kind of lesson worth celebrating most. In other news, Mazzulla is NBA's Coach of the Year, by Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe staff. After a disappointing postseason ending to a sparkling regular season, Celtics coach Joe Mazzulla was named NBA Coach of the Year on Tuesday night. It's the first time a Celtics coach has been honored since Bill Fitch in 1980, and caps a surprising season in which Mazzulla led the Celtics to 56 wins and the number 2 seed in the Eastern Conference in what was projected to be a rebuilding year. Mazzulla received 62 of 100 first-place votes and earned 392 total points, edging Detroit's J.B. Bickerstaff, 312, and San Antonio's Mitch Johnson, 133. Former Celtics assistant Charles Lee of Charlotte finished fourth. At 37, Mazzulla becomes the award's youngest winner in 51 years. Thank you to the Lord for the platform he has given me and to my wife and family who support me on the journey, Mazzulla said in a statement. Thank you to our players who compete and give it everything they have each night. I'm grateful for every member of the Celtics organization whose dedication impacts winning every day. This award belongs to our staff, who are there for the guys every day. Their relentless work ethic improves our team daily. This award should be named Staff of the Year. This community news program is a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you would like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. I'm David Jaffe, along with Jennifer Ann Kowiak. Thank you for listening.
You are listening to Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.
Hello, listeners. On Tuesday, June 2nd at 6 p.m., Speaking Volumes begins a brand new book titled Say Nothing, a true story of murder and memory in Northern Ireland by Patrick Radden Keefe. Be sure to get your copy now for this stimulating conversation.
listen to Audio Journal on your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play radio station Audio Journal on TuneIn. Or, hey Google, play radio station Audio Journal on TuneIn.